You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Dustin Johnson becomes the first man to claim all four World Golf Championships with a win at the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play.
It's been a long week, especially this weekend, playing 36 a day, you know, Saturday and Sunday, played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm glad it's over and I'm very happy that I was the winner. But yeah, it's a very tough week.
He overcame a courageous fight back from one of the most exciting young talents in world golf, the 22-year-old Spaniard, Jon Rahm.
I'm very happy with what I did, honestly. I'm proud of what I did. Obviously sad and a little mad of how things ended, but I'll get over it.
We've a full review of all of the action from Austin to come. Plus, we'll take an early look at the contenders for the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and alongside me is Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you?
Not too bad. Have been better, but nothing disastrous.
And I'm pleased to say we're also joined by the legendary golf broadcaster, Bob Bobka. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing fine, but you're very kind with those opening comments.
It certainly applies, Bob. There's no doubt about that. We're going to start, obviously, with the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play review and a brilliant performance, Boxy, from Dustin Johnson, the world number one, and rightly so at the moment.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Jon Rahm, I mean, he's some performer. You know, since he's joined the our European Tour since March the 1st, he's finished third, he's finished second, he's now second in the Race to Dubai rankings. So he's some player, only 22 years of age, and I've got to say I watched it last night. Bob won't be too impressed with me that I slid off to the pit. The pit, obviously, which you well know, Bob, means America. No, bed, rather, not America. I went to bed when he was three up with four to go. And then woke up, looked at the highlights and realised it was a lot closer than that in the end.
We will talk about the final in more depth shortly, but Bob, just generally, stateside, how good is Dustin Johnson playing at the moment?
Well, for the first time since a certain player was performing on the PGA Tour, we used to hear grumblings about him in the light that, wow, you know, he might not be beatable at all, and he's exceptional. And what I'm referring to is they're starting to talk a little bit about Dustin Johnson the same way we heard the media and fans and everybody connected to the game talk about Tiger Woods. That's how good he is.
Well, we're going to talk more about his success at Austin shortly. First of all, Boxy, though, just remind us how the format worked for the match play.
Right, well, it starts off as 16 groups of four. The winner of those groups goes through, but there is a possible chance of a playoff. And if there is a possible chance they could all play off, but that's very rare that happens. And then it's the last 16, and it's knockout all the way from there on in.
Well, there were some surprises, certainly in the group stages. Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth didn't make it out of their particular pools, Boxy. Rory getting beaten by Søren Kjeldsen, of course, out of the traps, and Jordan Spieth also beaten by Hideto Tanahara. And these were big casualties over the course of the first 3 days.
They were, and, you know, you're a little bit behind the eight ball when you've lost, you know, when you lose your first game. I mean, like Dustin, you've got to win all of them, really, to get through. But Rory didn't play badly. He played against Kjeldsen. You know, Kjeldsen's over 40 years of age now, and really he's playing his best golf. But McIlroy is four under par, and that's the thing about match play. You can play like an absolute, well, I won't swear, but I mean, you know, you can play like an idiot and shoot three over. Rare, but you could shoot two or three over and win. You can shoot four or five under and lose.
Tyrrell Hatton didn't make it through because of a rules infringement, box. He just reminds our listeners what happened with Tyrrell.
He was,
it's unfortunate, really.
It was very unfortunate. He was in, I think it was a three-way playoff. Cabrera Bayo, Tyrrell Hatton, and for the life of me, I can't
Charles
remember.
Howell.
Charles Howell, thank you so much for that. And he went to tap his par putt in. We were actually, when we looked at it, his back was facing us, so you couldn't see the putt ahead. Putt ahead went in, and the ball moved. Now, he then went ahead, checked with Cabrera Baird, tapped it in, thought it was fine, called a rules official over, and he said, no, he said, you've got to actually replace your ball. So he got a two-shot penalty, and out he went. And I've got to say, he left the green fairly swiftly, I have to say, after that. And so would I have done as well. But, you know, if you've got a bit more patience and just wait for the ruling to come in, it's always best to get it from an official. I know players know, but the officials know more.
Yeah, disappointing, really, for Tyrrell. Another Englishman, though, a massive plus for him, Boxy, Ross Fisher, who beat Bubba Watson but also booked his Masters berth as well.
He did, only just, though. He's up to 49th now in the world ranking. And there was a lot of chat that he was, you know, I remember Robert Lee did an interview with him in Austin, Texas, and he said, you know, you've got the Masters here sort of looming. Are you thinking of it? And he said, no, I can't be thinking of that. I've got to put that to one side. But I don't believe that, Bob, do you?
No, not at all. You know, as close as we are to the Masters, and if you have an opportunity to gain entry into the first major of the year, it's got to be on your mind. I guarantee you it was on Fish's mind. He just didn't want to admit it. I did spend some time with him down on the range one of the earlier days, and I was really impressed with his ball striking. It seemed very solid. He seemed in complete control, and he's somebody probably on the outside that we're going to have to take a look at when we get to Magnolia Lane.
Well, it was Ross Fisher that managed to make it through to the quarterfinals. Four of the quarterfinalists were European. It was a good mix. We had the likes of Phil Mickelson and Bill House as well, Bob. And I thought Phil Mickelson, having breezed through the group stages, was going to go deep into the tournament. But he was beaten by Bill House, who's been playing well over the course of the last 12 months.
Yeah, Bill House is one of those players that we probably expect a lot more of. Great pedigree. His dad, Jay, a great player on the regular tour, now competing on the Champions Tour, has the pedigree, and he's one of the all-round nice guys. And I often thought that if he had a little bit more of a mean streak in him, that he would come out, you know, even better. He's a tremendous player, former FedEx Cup winner. He's done all right, and he's one of those guys, you never know, on a given week, he can really light it up.
Now, Bob, let me into a little secret, please. What's the chat over there in the United States of Amazement? What's the chat about John Rahm? Are you claiming him or are we claiming him?
Well, we certainly would love to claim him, but I guess we have to take a step back and give him to your side. But, boy, what a talent. And I'm sure that in future Ryder Cups, there's no doubt that John Rahm is going to be a big part of that, not only because of his playing ability, but because of his mental attitude. He's not afraid of anything. He's got tremendous length off the tee. One hole yesterday, it was 293 carry over a lake onto a green, and it was a strong wind into his face. Dustin Johnson played first, used an iron to lay up. John Rahm went for the green, cleared it by about 3 yards, cleared 293 in the air into a strong wind onto the green. So I think the world of John Rahm, and he's got enough Sergio in him. I think he's got a little Seve in him. I think his future is extremely bright.
Yeah, he's burst onto the scene over the course of the last year. There's no doubt about that. Rahm thrashed Søren Kjelten in the quarters 7-5. The other results, just to remind you, Haas overcame Mickelson 2-1, as we mentioned. Dustin Johnson beat Alex Noren 3-2. And Hideto Tanahara managed to get the better of Ross Fisher by 4-2. That brought us to the semi-finals. And I guess, Boxy, at this stage, Dustin Johnson was overwhelming favourite, if he wasn't before.
Yes, I think he was. Firstly, he's number one in the world, but I think he just overcomes people with his length. I mean, he's just so long. You know, if you can be hitting wedges, gap wedges into par fours where players are hitting sort of seven irons, and it makes such a difference. I mean, especially, you know, match play, you're just booming it down there. You just think, God, this bloke's absolutely walking all over me. And he does, most of the people.
Well, Johnson overcame Hideto Tanahara 1-1 in the semi. John Rahm beat Bill Haas 3-2. And you mentioned the style of play, Bob, that Rahm has. He hit one of his drives, 426 yards in his match against Haas. I mean, length is such an advantage, isn't it? Certainly in match play, Bob.
Well, you're right about that. And when I take a look at John Rahm and I look at Dustin Johnson, certainly with a very athletic body, and then I get to see John Rahm, who also has a very athletic body, but about 40 more pounds. So John Rahm seems to be Dustin Johnson beefed up, and I'm not talking about Andrew the Beef Johnson, but John Rahm, I can't see anything stopping this guy. He's got a lovely demeanor. He's highly competitive. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. When he would do anything poorly out on the golf course, you automatically could recognize his disappointment, but he keeps plodding along. For 22 years old, he showed tremendous maturity.
So the final came down to Jeon-Rahm against Dustin Johnson, and Boxy, what a fantastic start for DJ, because 5-8 looked like the final was going to be over in double quick time.
Oh, yeah, and do you know what? Through the whole thing, first of all, he didn't have that many birdies. And I think he had, Dustin Johnson had 3 birdies. I think he was 3 under, I think, so up to, you know, for where he won on the 18th. But the you know, winning hole, the only winning hole on the front nine came for Rahm at the 9th. And at that point, unfortunately, he was 5 down. But it was a great fight back. Shame he didn't get off to a decent start. Would have been a totally different result.
We mentioned the fight back, Bob. Fantastic play from Jeon-Rahm. I guess to a certain extent, he had nothing to lose, so he could go for his shots a little bit more. And you mentioned that carry over water as well. But do you think DJ was getting a little nervous down the stretch with this young Spaniard coming at him?
I'm sure he was trying to decide where he was going to deposit that $1.6 million check, and then all of a sudden comes Rahm, and Rahm just wouldn't go away. And Rahm just showed that, hey, never give up, never give up. And if you look at Spanish players in general, that's been their mantra. I mean, you know, Seve never gave up. Ali never gave up. Sergio, you know, would never really give up. He didn't get the job done, but he never gave up. But I think in Jeon-Rahm, you have the new prototype of the future golfer, probably 6'2", 230 pounds, extremely athletic, and a fearless attitude. And you put all those things together in one golf bag, you got one heck of a player.
And it's amazing, Boxy, what momentum can do in match play as well. You win one hole, then you win another, suddenly wind at your back, and anything can happen.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, I remember in being in certain situations where you've been like 4 down, especially in foursomes. I used to play a lot of foursomes with a good old mate of mine called Derek Cooper. And if you went sort of 3 or 4 down, you always used to say, do you know, you just need something to happen. If we can get one hole back, it makes a bit, you know, it's like if you're 3 down with 5 to go, you know, all of a sudden or you win the hole, doesn't matter what you win it with, but you win the hole, you go back to 2. That's a massive difference. You think, well, I can just get my drive down the next, get them under pressure. Then you get it back to 1 down with 3 to go is nothing. You actually almost become the favourite, even though you're 1 down.
Had the momentum, but it wasn't enough in the end for Rahm, and DJ managed to win the final 1-up. Well, let's hear from the winner, who had a brilliant week and didn't trail at any point in any of his matches, as he made it 7 wins out of 7 across the championship. He lost just 23 out of the 112 holes he played at the Austin Country Club.
It's been a great week. It's, you know, it was a lot of fun this week. You know, first time I've really ever made it anywhere in the match play. But, you know, this year I came in playing very well, had a lot of great matches, and, you know, especially today, both my opponents today, Tanahara and Jeon-Rahm, were very difficult opponents, and we went to 18 in both matches.
It's a tough, tough week, isn't it, physically and mentally?
Yeah, it's a long week, especially this weekend, playing 36 a day, you know, Saturday and Sunday, played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's been a long week. I'm glad it's over, and I'm very happy that I was the winner. But, yeah, it's a very tough week.
And a full hand of WGCs. How proud are you of that?
Very proud. To be the first player to do that is pretty awesome, and I'm very excited.
Bob, Dustin mentioned there that he hadn't really got any significant form in this event previously. He'd been knocked out at the first round of the group stages on a number of occasions. Is he such a different player now that we can almost forget what he used to be like? Or is it just now he's got the confidence and he's got that world number one tag, and it's just been a natural progression and trajectory to where he is?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You know, anytime you start playing well and nobody's playing any better on the planet than Dustin Johnson, and then you come to a match play event, he realizes that his opponent is fully aware of his accomplishments, and that gives him the edge right on the first tee. And he talked about, you know, this being a marathon. It certainly was, but few people realize that Dustin Johnson goes to the gym 2 hours in the morning and works out, goes to the gym 2 hours in the evening, and he does that 7 days a week. I mean, he's relentless on trying to get to the best possible physical condition. And one other thing ought to be added here. You know, Dustin Johnson is doing all of this stuff at an amazing rate, but he's doing it not even with a professional caddy. He has his brother Austin on the bag. You know, they get along well, but you'll see numerous shots where Dustin will look at his yardage book, go to the bag, pick out a club, and never even discuss it with Austin. So Austin has learned to keep out of his brother's way, and it's working for them. But a lot of people suggest that Dustin Johnson would even be better if he had a professional looper on his bag.
Mentally, how difficult is match play and 5 days of it at that?
7 rounds in 5 days, if you're going to win, is quite tiring. You know, you haven't got to play the course. People say, oh, I go and play the course. You can't. I don't see how you go and play the course. If a bloke's knocking it on a par 5 and 2, you've got to have a go. You know, you can't.
You've got to play the man, haven't you?
You have to play the man.
Well, as we've heard, Dustin becomes the first player to win all 4 WGC events. Tiger Woods claimed 3, but never won the WGC HSBC Champions. It's the first time he's won 2 European Tour titles in the same season, and he extends his lead at the top of the official golf ranking. As we know, the mightily impressive Jon Rahm was the runner-up, but the young Spaniard was left ruined. A poor start to the final.
Obviously, it's a great thing to take him to 18th hole. I wish he would have won, but I just can't help to think on what on that front nine, right? If one or two other putts had gone in, probably if that putt on 5 goes in, it would have been a different story. But hey, I did take Dustin to the last hole, and I put in a fight. I did put things a little harder than he expected. Probably after number 8, he probably thought it was going to be a piece of cake. But you know, I did my job after that, and very happy with what I did, honestly. I'm proud of what I did. Obviously, sad and a little mad of how things ended, but, you know, I'll get over it.
Bob, this is a kid that burst onto the scene for most of us when he was top amateur at the US Open last year. Did you know about him prior to that? Did you know about his college achievements in the States?
Yes, I did, mainly because it was Phil Mickelson's brother, Tim Mickelson, who was the coach at Arizona State University, that had heard about Jon Rahm and made an effort to get him to come to his school. Jon Rahm jumped at the opportunity, arrived in Arizona to go to college, and wasn't even capable of speaking one word of English. But boy, oh boy, what a welcome addition to the professional ranks, both on the European side and on the American side. It's very difficult to come up with somebody with that kind of talent, with that kind of attitude, and with that kind of length off the tee. I mean, Dustin Johnson, everybody knows he's renowned for how far he hits it, but it was pretty even, tit for tat, between those two. But I don't know what's coming to the game. They played a par 5. It was 580 yards. Both of them hit wedges for their second shot. Reminded me of the way that Richard Boxall used to attack the golf course back in his day.
Exactly, but you know full well as I do, that wedge would have been my third.
I forgot about that middle shot.
That one, that chopping out, hacking out the rubbish down the middle, that you forgot about that one, Bob.
Bob, obviously we've been joking about whether he's a European Tour member, a PGA Tour player. Obviously he's Spanish, so he is one of ours, but he gets tremendous support, doesn't he, from the American galleries?
Well, he's gotten the blessing, obviously, from Phil Mickelson, who's kind of taken him under his wing a little bit because of his brother, Tim, who left the coaching ranks and now is his personal manager. So if you get the blessing of Phil Mickelson, you know, that kind of makes it a little bit easier. And then if you combine good looks, a great personality, and the ability to hit a golf ball a country mile, all the ingredients to be popular are in Jon Rahm.
Well, back in third place was Bill Haas, who beat Japan's Hideto Tanihara 2-1 in the third, fourth place playoff. Yet despite a top three placing, the American was still annoyed at his performance in the semi-final against Rahm.
Yeah, I feel like I was in it all day. Obviously, he made a nice birdie at 13. And then 14, I had the upper hand there after he hit a bad iron, and I just hit a poor chip. So I let him off the hook there. And then 15, he was in the rough. I hit a nice wedge about 12 feet. And then he hit an unbelievable shot from the rough to about 8 feet, and I missed, and he made. So those three holes go from even to 2 down. You know, hats off to him. He played great.
Haas obviously disappointed, but he did finish third, had a really good week. Likewise, Hideto Tanihara, who also aced the 7th on the final day, the only hole-in-one of the week.
Yes, and a great deal of support for him. OK, he did finish 4th, but the great thing for him is he went from 54th up to 48th in the world rankings, so big leap for him.
More on the world rankings shortly. We need, though, a reminder of the final four in order from the WGC Dell Technologies match play.
Well, Bill Haas and Tanihara, Bill Haas winning that game 2-1. And then the final, obviously, was John Rahm against Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson looked like he was going to cruise it, but eventually only won one up.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips from last week. Paul Eales went for Tommy Fleetwood and Hideki Matsuyama. And I went for Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas. None of our selections made it out of the group. Just goes to show how difficult it is, Boxy.
You know, we talk about it week in and week out. People always come up to me and they go, who's going to win the Masters? If I knew that, I wouldn't be sitting here.
To check out all the latest when it comes to our fantasy game, head to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Keep an eye on europeantour.com next week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Masters. Next up, Mr. Boxall, we need the top 10 from the Race to Dubai standings.
Bernd Wiesberger is 10th, David Lipski's 9th, 8th is Wang, Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 7th, Fabrizio Zanotti is 6th, 5th is Tanihara, Sergio Garcia is 4th, Ross Fisher now is 3rd, John Rahm, after two events, 3rd and 2nd, both in WGC events since he joined the Tour on March the 1st, is 2nd, and Tommy Fleetwood is still leading the way.
In other news, Sergio Garcia has been named the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month for February after his stunning wire-to-wire victory at the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. The five-time Ryder Cup winner claimed his 12th European Tour title in style, firing four rounds in the 60s to finish three shots ahead of the rest of the field at Emirates Golf Club. On the European Challenge Tour, Aaron Rye sealed an impressive and emotional victory at the Barclays Kenya Open, with his Kenya-born mother tearfully embracing her champion son on the 18th green at Mathega Golf Club in front of rapturous crowds. The Englishman was adopted by the Nairobi faithful as one of their own this week and responded with some scintillating golf on the final day, making seven birdies in a round of 65 as his 17 under par total was three shots better than his nearest rival, Adrien Sadier. It's been confirmed a host of homegrown stars will gather at Dundonald Links in Scotland from July 13th to 16th as they vie to become only the second Scottish player to take the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open title. Russell Knox will make his fourth consecutive appearance at the tournament alongside Paul Laurie, David Drysdale, Stephen Gallagher, Richie Ramsey and Mark Warren. The Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open is the third event in the European Tour's new Rolex series, a premium category of events, each with a minimum prize fund of $7 million. And on the PGA Tour, DA Points of the USA claimed a two-shot victory at the Puerto Rico Open. South Africa's Retief Goosen plus Americans Bryson DeChambeau and Bill Lund were tied for second, which brings us neatly onto the world rankings. Boxy.
Yes, it does. And I can tell you now that Alex Noren is 10th, Ricky Fowler 9th, Justin Thomas is 8th, 7th is Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth is now 6th, Henrik Stenson is 5th, 4th is Matsuyama, Jason Day is 3rd, McIlroy is still 2nd, and now Dustin Johnson is easing ahead in first position.
Well, there's no event on the European Tour this week as the players prepare for the first major of the year, the Masters at Augusta. We've got a full Masters preview next week, but we've time just to take a look at some of the contenders and get some longish range selections from the boys. Bob, before we let you depart, what are your thoughts heading into the first major of the campaign? Who do you think might win? Who are you looking forward to seeing playing?
Well, right now, I'm kind of leaning to Thomas Peters, believe it or not. Watched him practice this past week. I truly admired his ball striking. And number one, he's going to be head and shoulders above anybody in that Masters field because he's taller than anybody in the field. But I think it might be a major breakthrough for the Belgian bomber. So at this juncture, and it's not my official long shot pick, I'll make that next week, but I'm leaning towards Thomas Peters.
Bob, great to hear from you on the match play and those early thoughts on the Masters. We will speak again soon.
I look forward to it. Take care, guys.
So, Boxy, we've heard from Bob. What are your thoughts going into the Masters?
I'm going to go for a couple of Swedes. I fancy Alex Noren and I fancy Henrik Stenson. Alex Norrie won four tournaments last year, doubled his winning quota, works very hard on his game. He's not so much into thrashing golf balls as much as he used to. He goes out and plays shots and fiddles around and tries to play a little bit more rather than just stand there belting balls. And a good manoeuvre of the ball. I mean, he can hit it right to left. I know he likes to hit it left to right most of the time, but he can manoeuvre it. They say it's a right to left course, Augusta. But I still fancy Norrie will play quite well. I fancy Stenson will probably do a little bit better than him. I think there's a good chance he'll win it. All the par fives he can take down. Well, most of the players can take down in two, but very accurate, I think, Stenson with that 3 wood off the tee.
It's a huge horses for courses event, yeah, isn't it? The same players play well year after year. Even those that are past their prime. We've seen Bernhard Langer, Angel Cabrera, players like that who can still finish top 15, top 20, top 25. And some players just can't play it. No, Martin Kaymer can't play.
No, but it's very true, like you say, Dan. You know, that I used to play courses when I was playing the tour. You'd get to a course like, for argument's sake, Hilversum in Holland, where some players, it was a toughish sort of start. Some players couldn't see a score around there, but I used to think, well, you get past those first four in level par, then you're one under, then off you go. And for some reason I could play. I went to somewhere like East Sussex National, I couldn't see breaking 74. It's just, it is horses for courses. It's what settles nice in your eye.
We're going to have to halt you there. We could talk forever, I know, but we will have a full Masters preview for you next week, which you will not want to miss. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Richard Boxall,
bye,
and myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye. We'll see you next time.